Ganeshish for joining us. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. Well, my dad used to say to me when I was enjoying a trip to the park or something special, all good things must come to an end. My heart kind of sank a bit. And such is the case for the Spirit Wraps Around You exhibit at the Alaska State Museum. I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow will be your very last day to see it, and you'll be glad that we reminded you today. And joining us to do that, we have Steve Henriksen. He is curator of collections at the State Museum, and Jackie Manning, curator of exhibitions, and a very special guest, Lonnie Hotch. She is one of the exhibit's curators, and she comes from one of the leading weaving families in Klukwan. She's a professional weaver, a teacher, and she heads the Chilkat Heritage Center there. Well, welcome very much to our program. I want to go around to each of you, Steve, Jackie, and Lonnie, starting with Steve. What are your emotions at this point, knowing that the exhibit is about to fold after all of your hard work?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a something that that people who work at museums get used to, the excitement of the new exhibits coming in and then having to take them apart and send them off. So you do kind of get used to it. But when an exhibit that's this special comes along, I think it's something that we all feel. Sorry, but on the other hand, in this particular case, most of the robes that we have on display, there's about 24 of them, and most of them come from right here in Juneau, Sitka, a few from Haines and Klukwan, and a number of others have been borrowed from local clans and owners. And so we, in some cases, we don't even have to really crate them up. They just kind of walk out the door with the owners. And I know that we'll see those again, probably at celebration or other ceremonies. There are a few special ones that we were able to get on loan from East Coast museums. And it was quite a chore to get them here because of the expenses involved. We had to do a lot of fundraising to be able to afford it. So I'm afraid it'll be probably not in our lifetimes that they're back here, but you never know. You can see some of them on display if you go to the East Coast, but those we'll have to say farewell to for now. And we're just extremely lucky to have gotten to see them in their birthplace.
Well, Jackie, it was quite a family reunion. Of weavers and blankets.
Absolutely. To have all these robes in one place. And I think one of the striking things about this exhibit for me is there's multiple times we have a lineage of teachers that are represented. We have Lonnie Hotch's great-great-grandmother's robe is in there, and a robe that Lonnie did, as well as another one that she worked on. And we have Clara Benson and Ginny Colonnat, and another lineage there with Lily Hope locally and Ricky Tagaban, and Dolores Churchill and Evelyn Vanderhoop. So that to me is to have that, to see those teachers, you know, with the different robes that in that same space and that lineage of knowledge, that was pretty incredible. That's an incredible thing that we have there.
So Jackie, I guess that space is going to be feeling pretty empty to you in a couple of days.
It is the feeling that you have when you walk into that space with the robes, the hundreds of hours that goes into each one. I've had many people tell me that they feel the presence of the weavers when they're in that space because so much time is spent on each of those robes. So you do, when you're in that gallery, you feel the presence of those weavers, and it's an incredible feeling. And I am not looking forward to taking those down. We have like Steve said, we turn around and need to return robes and prepare for the next exhibit, but this has been an incredible exhibit and once in a lifetime opportunity. If you haven't seen it yet, there's still one more day.
Well, Lonnie Hotch, you were there for the opening, and because you live in Cluckwan, did you ever make it back to spend time with these robes?
No, I didn't. I wanted to, but then I had a super busy summer here in Cluckwan, and just trying to stay on top of everything. And so I haven't made it back down there. And then, the COVID has really been a big outbreak, and that's keeping me from traveling too.
You know, it seemed like this exhibit, which was 30 years in the making, had a tough time because of COVID and all the challenges. But when you were there that day for the opening, and of course, you've got some direct connection to this collection, at least one of the exhibits, it must have felt a little bit like a family reunion to you.
Yeah, what Jackie was saying about how you can feel the presence of the weavers. And I know that firsthand when I spend a lot of time weaving a piece, that, you know, I put my heart and soul into it as I'm weaving and weaving prayerfully. And I know with the thought that that spirit is going to stay with the robe. And you know, we put those robes on people ceremonially for different reasons. And you want that to be a good spirit that you're putting into that robe, to bring healing, to bring joy, to bring comfort, all those things. As I'm weaving, those thoughts are in my mind, and I have to be careful that I approach it in the right spirit too. And we're always told this, not to weave on it when you're angry or depressed, or you know, not in a good frame of mind.
You know, we tend to think of things today as disposable. I mean, disposable diapers, disposable gloves, masks. But the thinking behind these robes and weavings was definitely not disposable. These were things that were going to last a lifetime and beyond.
Oh, yeah.
Was that part of your teaching? And how did that message come to you?
Well, I don't know if people really told me that, but it's very obvious when you grow up in the culture and you see these robes and they're brought out, you know, for different ceremonies, different events, you know, they go back generations. You just know that. You just figure that out just from the exposure, the cultural exposure.
So when did you get your start in weaving, and who lured you into the craft?
Well, my grandmother, Jenny Warren, her Tlingit name was Ka'ik. She wove, and my great-grandmother, Mary Willard, was a weaver. And my great-great-grandmother, who had passed on before I was born, she was a weaver too. And so I guess it's in my DNA. it's, you know, a part of my identity. I'm named after my great-great-grandmother. Her name was Santots, and she was the weaver of the sockeye robe.
So one of the robes, you think, was probably made by a relative because it has the same design that your family has had for a long time. I guess they show it at the exhibit. It's a wooden pattern board.
From my family. That's part of my collection. I inherited it from my grandmother and her mother before her. So those pattern boards, I have several of them that have been handed down through the family. And that one, Steve knew about it because he's helped us in Klukwan with documenting the different collections that are up here. And he helped document our families and our clan, the Kagwantan Wolf House here in Klukwan, our collection. And so he saw that copper's robe pattern board and asked to borrow it because he was planning on getting the copper's robe from the Peabody Museum. And so that's how that ended up.
So for those who don't know what coppers are, can you explain?
Well, they were used in trade and they were used symbolically in the culture. I remember attending Steve and Janice's wedding some years ago, and copper was presented there as part of the wedding ceremony. Yeah, they're somewhat like a shield, and they're made of copper, and they have designs on them, and they have a fold in the, couple of folds in the metal to partition different design components.
What was it like to actually see that blanket in the museum? And just, did you feel some kind of a powerful connection to it?
I was so excited to see it. And because I've seen pictures of it in books, you know, and I've seen it on the internet, but to see it in person was really a cool experience. And I saw some detail that's not real apparent in the photos. And like the little raven's tail lightning pattern in the corner, I was excited to see that because it was never apparent in the photos. So, but I would love to get to look at the back of it and see how the borders were joined. We have different options for doing joins in the weaving, and I know what technique my family like to use. And I wanted to see, you know, and it was different, you know, our technique was a little different from other weavers. And I just wanted to see, you know, if it really was one of my ancestors who did that.
It's too bad you can't be here for the closing of the exhibit. Maybe Steve Henriksen would let you get a peek at it as he packed it up. So Steve, what's the story behind this particular robe? Where did we get it from, and how did they wind up with it, the museum back east?
It is, as museum objects go, it's one of the better documented robes, but we still don't really know that much about it. We know that sometime around 1829, 1830, a Yankee trader who was sailing on the northwest coast trading sea otter furs, purchased that from Russians at Fort Ross in Northern California. And before that, we have no information on how it got to California, but it is a kind of robe that's only made on the northern northwest coast, and it had to have originated in the Russian colony, as they referred to it back in those days, where in what is now Southeast Alaska. And the fact that the pattern board, a very similar design, is from Klukwan, it gives us a clue that that's probably where that robe was woven originally. But how it connected with the Russians, we don't know, and probably never will know.
Oh my goodness. Such a story behind these robes, so many mysteries. So Jackie, can you tell us a little bit about how this collection was assembled? Because I guess the museum didn't make the decisions to pull this collection together on its own, did it?
You know, I think that's probably a better question for Lonnie and Steve, because they were part of selecting which robes came together. And I was part of helping get them on exhibit, but they were that curatorial team that made that selection. So I'll let them answer that one.
Yeah, we had a series of meetings, the curatorial team, and we worked on a storyline, and then we worked on selection of the robes. Steve sent us all a series of photos we chose robes that kind of fit the storyline, how the weaving evolved over the years. And we wanted to show how that evolution took place, you know, from the cedar bark mats and then cedar weavings that looked more like, you know, like capes. And then they started including geometric patterns, and then started including wool. And then the wool were geometric patterns, and then started incorporating some form line designs. And then the full blown old style Chilkat robes that were broken up into three panels, and then the more natural figurative shapes of the robes, and then going back to raven's tail weaving. So kind of gone full circle now. You know, some people are weaving cedar bark robes again. So
let's hope that this exhibit sparks a renaissance and draws more weavers into making these treasures so that it never ends. You know, the name of the exhibit, The Spirit Wraps Around You. Lonnie, what do you think about that title? Was it the right title for this exhibit, and why?
Well, I think, Steve, you can answer where that name came from originally, but I do have some thoughts on that, but I'd like Steve to go first on that.
Okay, that's a rough translation of the Tsimshian term for these robes, and that is the spirit wraps around you. So it's a description of the function of these robes in Tsimshian society, that it was something for healing, something used for healing, and the spirit power embodied in the robe, when someone wears it, it completely envelops them. And so the name suggests that these are not just works of art, although they are masterpieces. They are something about the spiritual side of life and something powerful medicine for healing purposes. And I really thought that concept was something we wanted to promote, because we wanted people to see beyond the beautiful artwork and see the spirit behind the art. And just recently I was in the gallery, and I met a local man who said he had seen the exhibit about a dozen times over the summer, and he was back for another look at it. And he said that he really thinks that the exhibit helped him survive the pandemic, because because of the power. You can feel the power when you walk into the room. I've really rarely ever felt that in any museum exhibit, and it comes from that concentration of spirits that are in the room, the spirits of the weavers and of the ancestors who use those robes for so long. And that really, it's powerful. And we have a very special contemporary robe on loan from the Chilkat Indian village that they call the healing robe. It's a modern robe, but it's used for that very purpose. So it's really a perfect illustration of the title of the exhibit.
Lonnie?
Well, that healing robe that Steve is referring to, the impetus for that healing robe was, it's not so much that you put that on and you'll feel this healing power. It had more to do with embracing our culture and the throwing off of the cultural oppression. Our people didn't feel free to practice our culture for many years. You know, there were laws against potlatches, and children were punished for speaking the Tlingit language in schools. And we were encouraged to abandon, and, you know, and even back in the territorial days, people had to renounce their culture in order to be considered civilized enough to vote. So all those things, I'm talking about the history of why we needed a healing robe. I took this this class at the university there in Juneau, a seminar class on the Holocaust. And, you know, I learned a lot of horrific things that happened during the Holocaust, you know, genocide of the Jewish people. 6 million were killed during the Holocaust. And then I learned about the Holocaust museums that were going up and how the Jewish people were beginning to overcome that generational trauma through the creation of those museums. And that put a thought in me that we needed to do something like that to deal with the generational trauma that our people went through. And so that was the impetus that we needed this tangible thing, the healing robe, to literally put that on, embrace our culture, be proud of who we are as Native people, and throw off that cultural oppression. And there is healing in that. And we do use the healing robe, like during memorial kuichs, or even at funerals or the mortuary rituals that our people go through, like when somebody passes away and we gather in a clan house and we share their sorrow and offer words of comfort. Well, those robes will be brought out then too, our old robes. And I know, I remember putting the robe on a young person and telling him, you know, because the healing robe was woven by a group of us, and many hands had been on it, I told them that this robe represents all those weavers. It represents this community. And when we put this on, it's like a big warm hug from the whole community. You know, it's our love expressed in embracing you.
That is such a beautiful thought. So we are just about out of time. So, Steve, I'm going to let you wrap things up so we can, as a community, not miss this beautiful hug that's waiting for us at the Alaska State Museum. Give us the information we need to be able to see this one more time.
Okay, well, I'm happy to do that. We would really love to see folks come out tomorrow. We'll be open 10 to 4 on Saturday, and we can't have more than 20 people in the gallery at once. So if there's a lot of people, you might have to wait until things clear out a little bit. But you're welcome to come in 10 to 4, and from 2 to 4, I'll be in the gallery myself and just doing on-demand tours and just informal interpretation in the gallery if anybody wants to hear me, but you're welcome to come anytime, really. And that'll be your last opportunity. And after that, we'll start on Monday taking the robes down and starting to the process of returning them to their owners. Also, I should mention that we were through the generous contribution from Janet Hall Schenf, published a catalog about the show that has photographs of everything and a lot of text and historical photos. That's that's for sale in the museum and also on the Friends of the Museum's website.
All right. Well, we will watch for all those things. Gunnar Cheesh, Steve Henriksen, Jackie Manning from the Alaska State Museum, and Lonnie Hotch from Klukwan, one of the exhibition's curators. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So wonderful to hear from all of you.